You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses what's unique about Tisha B'Av versus all the other tzaddis. If you compare to the other four fasts, the other three fasts were not always kept. They're always kept, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Beis, they are only kept in situations where the Jewish life was tough, right? That there was, what the Gemara says, Yesh Gzeras Malchus. However, Tisha B'Av was kept no matter what. And the Gemara says, what's unique about Tisha B'Av? Says the Gemara like this, Omar of Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av Hoil Be'uchpul Botzores. Tisha B'Av is unique in the fact that Tzores were repeated Tzores in Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara quotes, the Omar Mar B'Tisha B'Av Charev Abayit, because in Tisha B'Av what happened, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but Rishoy Lo Bashniya, V'Nilkeda Beitar, V'Nechresha Ayir. There were four things that happened on Tisha B'Av. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Beitar, the city of Beitar, was captured on Tisha B'Av, V'Nechresha Ayir, and the city was plowed. We'll soon see there's a machloikis to understand when was the city plowed, in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash.
Which city?
So, which city? Again, what the city is. From the Yerushalayim, we see the Rambam writes that that's the Eichel, the Beis HaMikdash, and then expanded. Not only from the Beis HaMikdash, it's expanded outwards, and we'll see in a second. But just on the Gemara, so that's unique about Tisha B'Av. So Heshi Wien asked me a few years ago a question that makes this Gemara is very difficult. First of all, you're quoting Uchpelu Botzores, the Omar Mar, that somebody says that Tisha B'Av is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah, the same Mishnah in Tainis. Not only that, Uchpelu Botzores, it only quotes four Tzores. Nechrev Abayis Barishoyen Abashmiyah, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second was destroyed. Nilkeda Beitar, Beitar was captured. V'nechresha Ayir, and the city was plowed. One second. The first one is the Meraglim. The Meraglim is Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah quotes it, and here the Gemara omits it. And then number three is Tosis Kasha. Repeated Tzores. Yudain Tamus also had five Tzores repeated. But I think the answer is, all of these three Kashas, they answer themselves. What's unique about Tisha B'Av is that is in itself a repetition of Tzores. The Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second, is a repetition of the Tzora. Now, if you look at Beitar, what's the story of Beitar? The Rambam explains the Beitar is the final nail in the coffin of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70, give or take, and they still had hope. They still had a Jewish presence. They still had, like the Maral says, a very strong city that's called Beitar. Rabbi Akiva thought that from Beitar Mashiach was coming. And then Beitar was crushed on Tisha B'Av. That's the second level. The Jewish presence and Jewish identity was obliterated. That's the time when Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel go to the Haringa. We read, they were taken. I always think that's Lechoira, if you look at the Gemara in Gittin is saying this. In the beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was a little boy that was captured. And Rabbi Shua ben Hananya sees this little boy, and he gives a little pasuk, and the boy ends the pasuk. And he says, you know something, I'm going to rescue and redeem this boy for whatever money is necessary. And the Gemara says, who this boy was? This boy is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. And then the Gemara goes on to teach us the story that the children of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, they were captured again by the Romans, and that's the kina that we say about the Ben Ubas Kohen Gadol. The Ben Bas Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says, are the children of Shmuel ben Elisha. So Shmuel ben Elisha gets rescued. There is hope that this little child is going to become the Kohen Gadol. And by Beitar, these kids get captured and they sold as slaves in Beitar. That's why, by the way, this morning in Beitar, if anybody pays attention, the Gemara in Gittin talks only about children, the children of Beitar. And I always think to myself, what's so unique about the children of Beitar? Because Beitar was a hope. Were children. They didn't have, so the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but they were ready to rebuild it. There was Jewish identity. The Romans never took away from the colonies Jewish identity, but got into their minds that the Jewish were rebelling and decided to crush. So what was the hope, the children of Beitar. That's why the Gemara says, Yamesu lo yimipaz, oh, the focus of the Gemara. The Rambam already points out why are the children of Beitar. If you look at, so it's a repeated Torah. The Beis Hamikdash gets destroyed, there is hope, and then the hope is crushed. But the truth is, Nechresha Ha'ir, when was Yerushalayim plowed? So it's Machloikes, the Rambam, Shitas HaRambam, and Shitas Yerushalayim is the second Beis Hamikdash. They plowed Turnus Rufus at some point in time. The debate, when did that happen? The Netziv will say that was part of the Beitar strategy. The Beitar strategy was a double strategy. They crushed the Jewish hope, and they made it unavailable to know where the Mizbeach was. So they plowed the ear, is the Beis Hamikdash, because they plowed the Mokma Mizbeach, that you couldn't find where the Mizbeach was. Don't ever hope to bring the Beis Hamikdash again. The hope was taken away. That's the beginning of the end of the hope. The Tiferes Yisrael quotes, which is something that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, that is on the first Beis Hamikdash, because Rashi quotes that the plowing of the city is the plowing of Eretz Yisrael, lekayim ha-shenemar, to be mekayim what says in the Pasuk, in Yirmiyahu Chavov, ve-nechresha ha-tzion sode techoresh.
The
Mashmos, but the morning the Makis is Mashmos, that's the second Beis Hamikdash. But from the Psukim is the first Beis Hamikdash.
They're extending this from the second, from the first.
From the first, they always mix the two, absolutely.
But this Mashmos from the first.
In the first Beis Hamikdash, that's what the first Yisrael says. And he says the Gemara in Yuma says, the Gemara in Yuma also goes the same idea. The Gemara in Yuma says in Daf Nun Dalet the following, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, 52 shana, 52 years, lo avar ish b'Yehuda, nobody, Eretz Yisrael, if you look at it, Chazal understood that Eretz Yisrael was populated throughout in Jewish history. There was never a lack of Jewish population in at least some population in Eretz Yisrael, except for 52 years after the Churban, from the time of Dalia ben Achikam. That was 52 years. Sheneemar l'ori mesabech yunehi v'al nois midbar kina ki nitzu b'li yishover lo shamu kol mikne mov shamayim v'ad beheima nodudu holochu. Beheima begimatria 52. So you see that in the first Beis Hamikdash, according to Tiferes Yisrael, happened the same thing. There was the Churban Beis Hamikdash, but there was still hope. People were still there. But then there was a gzera that this thing became completely obliterated. And it's unique to understand that the Pasuk says, how long was Eretz Yisrael desolated in the first Beis Hamikdash? 52 years. The Yerushalmi asks, Yemea shel Beitar, how many days was Beitar a stronghold of the Jews before it became the crushing process? It got crushed 65 years later. But when was the beginning of the decline of Beitar? Says the Yerushalmi, 52 years was Beitar Kayam. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Now, what's the significance of the 52? So the Megal HaMukos explains that the significance of 52 is that if you look Shem Shomayim, Yud Kei Vov Kei can be spelled in many ways. Yud, you spell Yud Vov Dalet. But hey, you can spell hey yud, hey aleph, and hey hey. If you spell what's called milui hey, if you spell with a hey, you spell yud, yud vav dalet, hey, hey hey, vav, vav vav, hey hey. The gematria is 26, and the spelling adds another 26. Vav dalet is 10, hey, vav, hey, 26. Altogether, 52. This is the Shem Dina. Is the Shem of Ben. And explains the Megal is very clear why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he created his image like a doubles that we can relate to him. He relates to us. There's this duality with Jim Shem Shamayim, that in the earth, in the physical, Hashem also shines. That's 52. The idea of the Churban Beis Hamikdash was there was a closeness with us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a direct connection. That's the Beis Hamikdash. But there was a second step, that the world, even though it's distant, it still resembles, still a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eretz Yisrael. There was hope, there was Hashgocha. The Beis Hamikdash was not only the separation between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it separated that that hope, that connection, that distant connection. The Yud Kei Vov Kei, the doubles. When there is a Yud Kei Vov Kei there, and there's Yud Kei Vov Kei here, that was taken away. Beitar and Nechresha Ha'ir are the same repetition of the same Tzorah. that even though there was no Beis Hamikdash, there was at least a resemblance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hashgacha, we could see him here. We had hope. We saw that this was coming. Beitar and Necher Sha'ir was obliterating that. And if you see this, that's why it's doubles. What Tisha B'Av is a doubles. We are doubles. We are here and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. There is a double. There is a double relationship. There is a double existence. As long as Beitar was there, the existences were connected. They were related. We saw Hashgacha. We saw good things happening. We saw hope. Necher Sha'ir, when Yerushalayim became, Erzo became desolated. It didn't resemble anything. There were no Jews keeping mitzvahs. When there was Nilka the Beitar, the hope of the Jews was crushed. The identity was crushed. Mitzvahs could not be kept. Forget about Beis Hamikdash. In Churban Beitar, we know they made a gzera that you couldn't even learn Torah. This, the world became a double, completely disconnected. And that's why this is always related to 52 years, because this is the ultimate Churban. That's what Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of doubles, because it's a double Churban. It happened in the first, the second Beit HaMikdash. Every Churban happened double. The connection and the resemblance. It's like Kiddushin and Nisuin. This was broken. The doubles, we became separate. The duality of the world became evident and clear. We spoke about it in length on Shabbos. If anybody wants to listen, we have this at much length explanations. But what I want to go here is something a little different. Interestingly enough, not only the Golus comes in doubles, Geulas Yisrael comes in doubles. We know the following. Geulas Yisrael, says the Mishnah in Edyos. The Mishnah in Edyos says the following, Perek Sheni. Ha'av zocheh laben, the father gives to his son. Benoi, bekoach, he gives beauty, he gives strength. Chochma, oisher. Ubeshonim, he gives him ears, right? He's part of the ears. In other words, the son is part of the ears of the father, meaning it's a continuation of the family. Ubemispar hadoires lefonov. And the child, not only he adds ears to the family, he adds a number of generations. Shenemar, koire hadoires meroish. Says the Mishnah, afal pi shenemar, vinois amar ba meishona, because you realize that what's important, not the numbers of years, is also important, the skipping of generations. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, your children will be slaves for 400 years, v'dorevi yeshuvohen, and the fourth generation will come back here. So you need generations and you need years. Explains the Ravid. V'nireli, d'ay dekobar b'mispar adoyres. What's the difference between years and number of generations? He says, hu haketz, achinami komer kiloimar, afabesh otin kitz lagalut. There are two stages, says the Ravid. There is a stage of galus, of suffering of galus, kibiyochol, the Beitar story. There is a time that there is galus and we are away from Eretz Yisrael and we have no kesher and there's no hashgacha and we don't see, and it's basically, it's a policy, like there is such a thing of a revelation of presence, there is such a thing called revelation of absence. David Weiss used to say, there are two gilui, there's a gilui of absence and there's a gilui of presence. As long as Beitar was there, as that Necher Sha'ir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. We saw Hashgacha, we saw Eretz Yisrael. When Beitar was crushed, when Eretz Yisrael became desolated, we couldn't do mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to be absent, Chas V'Shalom, says the Ravid. This is Golus and Geula. There is a first stage called Golus. Shenoisin Ketz LeGolus Yisrael LeShibut Shalem B'Shonim. That Golus, it depends on years. Is a function of years, Golus. And Golus is the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But however, Geula is not a function of years, is a function of what? It's a function of generations. There is Golus and there is Geula. And he says, when he sees a door that's coming closer, he goes ahead, he takes away the galus, and he prepares the people to reach the geula. That's what in Shibut Mitzrayim. In Shibut Mitzrayim, we got out of Mitzrayim. And then we still have to wait 40 years to go to Eretz Yisrael. There is the Sur Mera and the Aseh Tov. The Geula comes also in stages. It comes in a stage where there is presence, there is connection, and then you have to take that connection to the next level. Says the Gro the same thing in several places. The Gro says that in Safra Ditznusa, and the Gro says that in the Imre Noyim in Daf Yud Gimel in Broches. And he says we have two types of Geulas. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Zohu and Achishena. Zohu, if we deserve, is Achishena, it comes earlier. Loi Zohu is Beita, it comes at the right time. Says the Gro in Dimre Noyam. This, you could explain according to the Gemara. The Gemara in Brochos has a machloikis. Kol ha-nevim lo nisnabu elo limoisa Mashiach. All the Nevios relate to Moisa Mashiach. That's one on the Omar. The whole, that all the prophecies, all the miracles, the God's daily in Kevis, all relates to Moisa Mashiach. To Olam Haba, Ein Lo Yiroas Elokim Zavasecha. Says the Gemara, Upliga di Shmuel. This argues with Shmuel. Because Shmuel says, Olam Haze, and Moisa Mashiach, there's no difference. Only Shibud Malkus. So the Gemara says the difference. Here the Gro says, they don't really argue. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. I always bring a right to the Gro, because the Rambam passes like two days. If you look in Ilchus Tshuva, in Ilchus Melachim, he passes like both. There is Yemois HaMashiach, with all the miracles of the Nevim talk about, Vegar Zevim Keves, all the, those miracles related to Yemois HaMashiach. And then there is another Rambam who says, In Yemois HaMashiach, Lashibud Malchus. He's Melachim. So it's Achstir, Melachim. And by the way, this Pligo, this Shmuel, it could be that Stom of the Gemara, the Rambam in his Truvas, he argues with the Stom of the Gemara. This is one of the typical cases that the Gemara makes a machloikis between the two. Both the Rambam and the Gro says there's no machloikis. Eilovel divrekim chaim. Kishne yemoisa mashiachen. We also have two yemoisa mashiach. Hainu, one is yemoisi mashiach bin Yosef. Vezet tali bischus. Yemoisi mashiach bin Yosef is flexible. And that's tali bischus. Zohu achishena. Zohu, technically, this should have started when? Be'elef HaChamishi, in the beginning of the fifth millennium, the beginning of Yemois HaMashiach. That was supposed to be Yemashiach Ben Yosef. K'mo shekos of Shnei Alpayim, Yemois HaMashiach. Yemois HaMashiach is supposed to be 2,000. It's flexible how long it will take. Ve'az, this is Ebedo Elamaz, Yemois HaMashiach. And that is life as it goes. And the only difference is that we're independent, that we are not being crushed by the Goyim. That's the only difference between one and the other. But achar kach be'elef hashishi, when the elef hashishi comes, when the real Yemois HaMashiach comes, that's Beita, that is called the Mashiach ben David, that's Malchus, the Malchom of Goyg u'Magoyg, and that is what the miracles of God Zev in Kev is called. So Yemois HaMashiach says is the exact same thing. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef, and that comes before, that prepares the Derech, and then there's Mashiach ben David later. And this is what the Gemara means, the two Yemois HaMashiach. We have two Yemois HaMashiach. This fits very well with the Rabbi. The Rabbi is telling you there is one Yemois HaMashiach, which is the end of Golos, which is exactly the flip side of the destruction. The first stage of the destruction was the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash, that we connected, we had a Voida. In the first Beis HaMikdash, you had Ashuras HaShchina. The second stage was that hope was broken. That duality, that connection to God, that there's Shem Shomayim here that was broken. How it gets fixed? Also in two stages. In one stage here, and one stage then. Rav Kook, in his famous Hesperitud, Rav Tut Herzl, clearly relates to this Gro, and he says, Yosef and Yehuda, that duality of Yosef and Yehuda, relate to someone in Chazal which is called Alma de Iskasia and Alma de Idgalia. There's the world of revelation, of revealed, which is the world of physical, the rational world. And then the world of Iskasia, the spiritual world, the mystical world, the world of real connection. The world of Yosef is the world of physical, of rational. He's the one who goes to Mitzrayim first before the Jews go there to do what? To prepare and to set the derech. Like Shaul HaMelech was also the Shaul the Melech of Yosef. And he comes to set it right. But he's setting in the world of rational, in the world of physical, in this world. And that's why Yosef, the tribe, was always involved in material success. They built Shomron. We see the Tukinas that we say Shomron is a much more developed city than Yehuda. And then you have Yehuda. Yehuda relates to the Alma de Iskasia, to the world of hidden, to the world of mystical. That's the world Yehuda goes to Eretz Yisrael, goes to Mitzrayim. What does he do? He opens what? He opens a yeshiva. Geula comes first in Noilam Hazeh, making Noilam Hazeh a livable place, that we have connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that resembles, that we see Ashgocha. And then it comes to Malchus based on it. Which is exactly flip side, the fixing of Beitar and Necher Shair and going back to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The reason why I'm mentioning it is because if we look at where we live today, we live in a very unique time. And that's what Rav Kook was already alluding. And I think everybody will agree that this is a unique time. The fact that we go back to Eretz Yisrael, we have yeshivas, we have independence, Israel, Boch Hashem, it's all meaning. We have the community, even in America. Jews came after the war, the crushing of the war, and they had nothing, and they built, in America, just the wealthiest people are again the Jews. Boch Hashem people made quantities of money, and they have a success that's unfathomable throughout Jewish history. You have people in the world, even in the frum world, that have more money than the Jews had probably in 500 years. And you have Eretz Yisrael, you have yeshivas building, you have Daf Yomi that thousands, if not tens of thousands of people learn. Clearly this is screaming to be the perhaps Mashiach ben Yosef. There's a very big difference, it's very interesting. In Chazal, Mashiach ben Yosef is not a person. Mashiach ben Yosef is a tkufa. Because since Mashiach ben Yosef relates to the time of God's presence in the physical world, rational world, that presence is not physical. Because you have to realize that there is something non-physical in the physical. Mashiach ben David, which relates to the world of spiritual, in the world of connection, the world of mystical ideas, the mystical connection, on that, the Mashiach is a personal, physical Mashiach. That's why the Rambam only quotes the physical Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. Because they are counterparts of the ideas. If we open ourselves, we are seeing that perhaps we are now in a time that relates somehow to the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef. You could call this Ikvas HaDimshich, as we see in the second, you could call this Atchalta de Geula. Because the end of Golus and the beginning of Geula is all the same. And you see that, I think that everybody agrees with that. It's not only Rav Kook, even the people who are the most against Rav Kook. And I spoke to them, for sure they agree to this. This is Beitar being rebuilt. That you have hope, you see Hashgocha, you see the fear of connection. The only question is, what is our role in this pivotal time? What should we do? Does it mean that we learn another Daf Yomi? That we say another Perek Tehillim? For sure it's good. But what's our role? We are living in a very unique time. If indeed, and by the way, I was going to bring, I decided not to bring, but if anybody wants to come to my house, there is a sefer by Ibn Chiyah, and I brought here too many people, that says clearly that he is Mekubal in the year 1940, some years plus, some years minus, is the end of the Gaulus. And it comes for 300 years. It says approximately that the Jews will be Yoishev al Admosam, and they're going to be able to relate and to prepare for Mashiach ben David. And that was written in the 1600s, okay? In the late 1600s. So you see that this is a unique time. The question, how do you deal with that? I think that the first most important aspect, if this is the generation of Yosef, the generation of Yosef, which is the Tikkun of Beitar, clearly the first step is Yosef and the physical success. We need to, in some ways or the second, hope, yearn to something much bigger. When you look, saying the tefillah of Nachem, Esayir Hashomema Vehabzuya, Hayoshev Es Mibli Yoshev, that is without any people, and you think to ourselves, how can you say that today? Yerushalayim is Bzuya, Yerushalayim is Shomema. But that's if you are content with the avoid of Yosef. But if you realize that Yosef can only succeed if you connect to something much higher, much more mystical, it's really empty. What we have in Yerushalayim is so much less than what we need to hope, that we need to have. Yosef without Yehuda doesn't work. That's Rav Kook's approach. That the idea is that you need to connect the success in the physical sense, in the Beitar sense, that now is not Necher Shair. Now Beitar is not destroyed. There's no Gzeras that we can't learn. But just the fact that we could learn, and we learned Afayoimi, and we're successful materially, that's not enough. We have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not enough. We want more. That idea of we want more is the Chibur of Yosef and Yehuda. That's why Yosef is always a name asking for more. Yosef li Hashem ben Acher. All the Madrega of Yosef is saying that's not enough. The Machloikes between the Kanoim and the non-Kanoim is how is that achieved? Everybody knows that according to the Groth this is something very resembling Yosef ben Yosef. One of them is to say, "Im ein ponecha oilchim al taleinu mizeh." If this is what it is, it's not enough. So you repudiate that to be able to get something more. Or you do it in a constructive way, that you take this as a stepping stone to something more. But clearly this is what we need. This idea that we need to something more. Which is corollary to that, is the idea that Yosef needs to connect to Yehuda. Yosef is very easy to be very satisfied with what we have, but you have to connect to Yehuda. Says Reb Tzodek, that's the idea of Sinas Chinam. Yosef, as much as a tzaddik as he was in Olam Hazeh in a rational basis, that rationality, that tzidkus b'Olam Hazeh created that there was a lot of intolerance. That's by Shemi. That's why if you look at the Ari Miklat, the Gemara says, right, that there were as many Ari Miklat in Shechem, in Ever HaYarden, more than Eretz Yisrael, the same number. So the Gemara says, why? Because b'Shechem nefich tzero yitzchak, because in Shechem there are many murderers. So the Reb Tzodek, what's unique about Shechem? Because it's Yosef. A Yosef, b'alma deizgali, if you're very rational in Olam Hazeh, naturally it comes that there is intolerance. You need by Yosef to try to connect to something higher, to look for a bigger betzios. And that's why Yosef, the takon of Yosef is to avoid sinas chinam. Sinas chinam is intolerance. It's my way or the highway. That's Yosef. In Olam Hazeh, the things are very clear, very defined. You need to go to a world that's more blurred. So the takon of Yosef is realizing that there is something more that we have to yearn, and that the boundaries are not that clear. And because the boundaries are not that clear, you need to break the sinas chinam, which is a natural result of Yosef. But I think also there is something more. What is Yosef? Yosef is known for the Pitro Nachalimus, that what he went, that he went ahead and he deciphered, he interpreted the Chalimus. Olam Hazeh that we live here is a dream that needs and begs interpretation. Yosef is a world that we have success, material success. We see in Eretz Yisrael, we see miracles every day. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. But you know how you get to Mashiach ben David? By giving meaning and interpretation to the Chaloimus. And that's what the Zohar writes. The Zohar writes that in Soif HaGolus, you need to bring something more, to bring something higher. It's very easy today to banalize and to make every single thing very, very superficial. If we learn from Yosef, what did Yosef do? Every single thing in life was a dream that required interpretation. The world today is a world that's searching for meaning. And I think for us, in the Moshe of Mashiach ben Yosef, is to connect to a world of meaning, to a higher meaning, to look for depth, for a deeper meaning. I teach today at Penn, and I'll tell you something. Probably it's the easiest time to make out of people. And the reason is because people in the world are looking for one thing and one thing only. And that thing is called meaning. There was just an article in the Jerusalem Report saying that this is Mamish and Mashiach. He's saying that once upon a time you had the religious and the non-religious, and there was a cultural conflict in two. Today you don't have religious and non-religious. You have a new acronym. In Israel, everything is an acronym. So you have something called the Datlaf. Datlaf is Dati Liprakim. He is from at times. So you have the frum all the time, and they say now in Israel you have the frum all the time, you have the frum at times, right? Sometimes. But it is. Why? And they say, why? Because in this world there's success. What are you going to do more? To try to get more success? What you're trying to see, okay, what does this all mean? Yosef is the avoid of Yosef, is giving interpretation to a dream that we are living. I think the first step is to realize that we are living a dream. And then the avoider is to bring interpretation. Because you give interpretation, you realize that there's so much more to it. And that's the yearning of Mashiach ben David. And the Mashiach ben David, that's what it is. And the corollary to it, I think, is very important. Yosef is the Bechin of Kedusha and Taira. He had Kedusha Sainayim. Yosef is the one, Shalorotza Loz Mechirin. He looked at the world of physical and he tried to avoid being attached to the world of physical. Because the corollary of the world of physical is that the physical is so, the success in physical is so strong that it becomes an attraction of itself. That's why Arias and Erva is that what Yosef comes to battle. Erva tells you that the physical, when it succeeds, it's so attractive that the Etz Hadas create a barrier and doesn't allow you to go deeper. You get focused on beauty. You get focused on money. You get focused on luxuries. That it prevents you from going deeper. The dream is such a great dream that almost gets you caught as a movie that you forget about interpreting it. You're just enjoying the dream too much. So that's why Yosef is the Bechina Satira. We all know that the Gerer Rebbe, I think that everybody believes, to my understanding, how you slice and dice it, everybody believes that we're living a dream called the Sheikh Ben Yosef. The only question is how to relate to it. The Gerer Rebbe came to an idea that you have to, in this world, be knowing much more B'Kedusha in the Tam Mashiach Ben Yosef than regularly. That's why he did something which was very revolutionary, that when the stipler originally heard about what he was doing, he was very upset, and he was going to write a letter. And the Gerer Rebbe writes the Beis Yisrael to the stipler, and if anybody follows the story of the parable of the Pashkevilim, of the notices, knows that he wrote, and he says, listen, we live in the generation of Yosef, and my Kabbalah is that you have to do that. And his idea was the Kedusha entirely so necessary. You have a world of the internet, which is so much filth. Therefore, the avoida is to really get away from that as much as we can, and to look for a world of meaning. We are living in a dream. We need to interpret the dreams, and we have to yearn for something more. Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the first step of the Gula, is when Beitar, Lechoira Beitar, and Necher Shahayir are being fixed. But this, without Beis Hamikdash, it means nothing. All the idea of Yosef is Yosef Li Hashem Ben Acher. How do we do that? Is yearning for something more, is searching for meaning, and not being caught in the dream itself. Realizing that we are living a dream that requires interpretation, and not to get caught in the dream that really becomes an end of itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did allow us to experience and to reflect that we live in a very special time. The same way Beitar crushed the hopes of the Jews, I believe that what we're living here inspired the dream of the Jews. I don't think it's by chance that when Israel comes to Israel, the national anthem is called HaTikva. It's not by chance, Rabbi Yisai. If you realize the HaTikva is the hope, Beitar is the crushing of the hope and always starts again and says the grow, and I'll just finalize the grow. When we say by Kodesh Baruch, we say Mishanu Miftach LaTzadikim. HaKodesh Baruch is the rest and the trust of the Tzadikim. Says the grow always HaKodesh Baruch when he sends Golus. He first gives you a little Geula, and the little Geula is to inspire people to have hope and trust. That's why in Tavo Purim there was a little miracle that Mordechai went B'Sharayir and the Achashverosh couldn't sleep. What's the purpose of that dream, of that miracle? So that miracle is to give people hope. Because when you give hope, you believe. And when you believe, you give koach for it to happen. Nilkeda Beitar was the end, the crushing of the hope. We are, Baruch Hashem, living a time when hope is back again. But we have the hope to take to something bigger, something deeper, something higher. And that's our avoider, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes from a time of mission, and mission leads us to Miftach.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.